Anything that happens to you has to pass through God's fingers first.
And Dr. Tony Evans says when the Lord lets something in, he'll give us the grace to get through it.
So don't make God so small that you think the devil gets to make the final decisions in your life.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. No matter how much we wish it wasn't, it's still a fact. Real growth doesn't come easy. It's a struggle, often a painful one. But today, Dr. Evans will tell us how to depend on God's grace to get us to the other side and describe the benefits waiting for us when we do. Let's join him.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he's got a problem. He is dealing with what he calls in verse 7, a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. The Greek word for the word thorn refers to a splinter or a needle. Something pricking you, irritating you. If you ever got a splinter in your finger or in your foot or you got stuck with a needle, it's pricking you. Now, Paul does not tell us what his thorn is. There are a number of possibilities. For example, the Bible tells us Paul had an eye problem, so it could have been an eye illness. We also are told, since it says there were messengers of Satan, that there were people who irritated Paul, who constantly traveled behind him, undermining him, and he couldn't get rid of them. Whatever it was driving him crazy. I wonder if there's anybody here right now that's got a thorn in your flesh. Maybe you're living with a thorn in your flesh. I don't know. But it's an irritating situation that won't leave you alone. Not only is Paul saying he has a thorn, he says this thorn came from the devil. He says it's a messenger of Satan. It is a satanic prick that was allowed by God. The devil can't do anything to you that God doesn't allow. And when God has a spiritual purpose that he can use the devil to accomplish in your life, he will even allow the devil to do it in order to fulfill his purpose. So don't make God so small that you think the devil gets to make the final decisions in your life. Anything that happens to you has to pass through God's fingers first. If you don't believe me, read the book of Job. The only reason he went through what he went through is because the Bible says, and God allowed the devil to do it. And he says God gave it to him for a couple of reasons. Number one, he says because of the revelations in verse 7. God's plan to use him caused God to let Satan irritate him, because God would get better use of him after the irritation than without it. Now let me flip the side. Because he says the other reason, verse 7, that God had to give me this thorn is so that I don't get the big head. Notice what he says in verse 7. He says to keep me from exalting myself. So one reason God gives you thorns is to keep you humble. To keep me humble. Because it's easy to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Easy for me to do that, you to do that. It's easy for people. So to make you remember you're still human. To make you remember there's only one God and you and I are not he. To make you not forget that you are dependent and not independent, God allows things in your life and my life that you can't fix. Now you say, what's that got to do with grace and power? Well, you only know how powerful a medicine is when you are desperately needing of it to get better. In other words, extra strength Tylenol doesn't mean a thing until you need extra strength for the headache. It is the headache that irritates you that causes you to go to the pharmacy to get extra strength Tylenol because you need power to fix or address a problem. So watch this. God allows what he's getting ready to call weaknesses through thorns, even though it's caused by the devil, so you can see what extra strength God feels like. God allows weaknesses to give you a greater experience of the power of his grace. So if you are seeking to live for the Lord and there is something that won't go away, then you are a perfect candidate for grace being unleashed in you, to you, through you, and on you. Notice what he says in verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient. The word sufficient means adequate for every scenario. Okay, let's illustrate this way. There is more than enough water in the ocean and the seas for every fish that has ever existed. I don't care how many generations of fish there has been, there is more than enough water to handle them. There is more than enough foliage in the forest to handle all the generations of animals and birds and reptiles and insects that have ever existed. Because while they're dying, new leaves are growing and new grass is growing. In other words, God keeps the foliage coming so that generationally there's more than enough. Oh, okay, let's try this one. There is more than enough oxygen for all the human beings over thousands of years that have ever lived that we haven't outbreathed the amount of oxygen available for the human race. And while we dying, folks still breathing because there's more than enough oxygen. Come on now. You mean to tell me there is so much oxygen that me breathing out the carbon dioxide hasn't eroded the oxygen so the generations have to worry about not having enough oxygen to breathe? There has been more than enough for generation after generation after generation. Well, what water is to fish, foliage is to animals, and oxygen is to the human race, grace is to the believer. There is more than enough. He says it is overabundant. It is sufficient. It doesn't have a shortage. Then wait a minute. Then why am I not experiencing this grace? Because while grace is there, like Our Lady in the Boondocks, it has to be accessed. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13 says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. But you can't understand that verse. It's been misquoted a million times until you read the next verse. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. In other words, work out your salvation. That doesn't mean work to get saved. These are people already saved. He's saying the salvation that's working on the inside, cooperate with it on the outside. So that what's happening in here is working out here in your circumstances. So let's get this straight. Grace is sufficient. There's more than enough. Some of you have in your home, like I do in mine, power strips. Okay, so you may have two outlets on the wall, but you put a power strip, that gives you six more locations to plug in six more new things. In other words, this one thing allows you to expand it to other things so that you can deal with multiple appliances at the very same time. Let me tell you how much grace is out there. If you got multiple thorns, multiple challenges, God has power strips so that he can handle each one of those things by grace. Why? Because he says in verse 9, my grace is sufficient, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, shall I boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Guess what grace has? Power. It has power strips. divine provision that comes with grace.
So what does that provision look like, and how will we know when we have it? Dr. Evans will answer those questions when he comes back in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about the perfect follow-up resource for our current series, Tony's book, The Grace of God. We're helpless to make it to heaven or make it through life on our own, but God has done it for us through the incredible gift of grace Dr. Evans has been talking to us about. This short, easy-to-read resource will take you deeper into how grace works, how it changes us, and how we can avoid getting in its way. We want you to have a copy of The Grace of God to help build your confidence in what God is doing inside you. So we'll send you a copy as our gift when you support Tony's work here on the air and around the world with a contribution of any size, large or small. And if you contact us right away, we'll include CDs of all 12 full-length messages in his brand-new series, The Magnificent Grace of God, along with a companion DVD packed with follow-up Bible study content from Tony. Get details today before this limited-time offer runs out. Visit TonyEvans.org or call 1-800-800-3222, where staff members are always on hand to help with resource needs. Dr. Evans will be back after this.
Journey to a time of kings and prophets. Witness epic battles and miraculous events. Live the greatest adventures ever told, straight from the pages of the Bible. The Tony Evans Training Center provides more than just world-class training in a learn-at-your-own-pace environment. It strives to make the books of the Bible come alive. We'll take you deep into God's Word so that you can experience it in a life-changing way. Begin your journey today at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
How do you know when you're getting this grace? I know your question is, okay, all this sounds good, but tell me how to get it. I'm getting there. Stay with me. But how do you know when you're getting it? You know you're experiencing grace when you're being strengthened in the midst of your thorn. Watch this now. He allows the thorn to give you the need for the grace. And you know the grace is working when he is strengthening you, even though the thorn may still be there. Because Paul's thorn hasn't disappeared yet. But he's getting power. When you get fresh strength to handle the circumstance, the negative circumstance you're dealing with, it is God's grace at work in your life. That's why I love Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 to 31. It says he gives new strength to the weak. He gives new strength in three ways. One way, the verse says, he takes you out of the situation. That's the one we want most. Get me out of this. That's one way. But then he says he has a second way. He says you will run and not get weary. The second way he gives new strength is you run. So you still are dealing with it, but he gives you a second wind. You runners know what a second wind is. You can't run anymore. You're tired. You want to throw in the towel. And something kicks in so that you are able to keep going when you thought you couldn't make it. You know you're experiencing grace when God gives you a second wind. You are about to give up, throw in the towel, and quit. And something, boom, a burst of energy. And you get energized to keep going on something you were going to throw in the towel. He gives you a third reason of new strength. He says the third reason in those passages in Isaiah 40 is you walk and don't faint. The third reason, nothing changes. He changes you. You're too tired to run. You can't run. He says, but you walk and you do not faint. Well, you're in the airport. You're going from this gate to this gate, and you got to catch a plane, and you got to catch a plane, and you're walking, and you're walking, and you're walking, and you get tired because it's a long way to the gate, and you're walking, and you're walking, and then you come on a moving sidewalk. Well, you still can walk on the moving sidewalk, but there is something underneath you giving you new strength, even though you're doing the walking. Even though you're moving, there is something burying you, carrying you along, easing the steps. So it doesn't change the fact that you got to walk from this gate to this gate, but it changes the nature of the walk because it's gliding you where you had to use all your own strength before, or where you're carrying a suitcase with wheels. See, without wheels, you carrying the suitcase. The suitcase is heavy because you got a lot of stuff in it. But once you, because I did this one time. I was carrying two suitcases. I was heavy. Sweat was breaking out. And the guy asked me, doesn't that have wheels? And I said, oh. I put it down and began to roll it. Guess what? The weight didn't change. Same stuff was in the suitcase. Oh, but I wasn't getting weary like I was. Because grace gives you wheels, even if it doesn't change the load. So, he says that this grace gives new strength. So you know you're getting new strength when its power is operating. And let me tell you another way you know. Verse 10, therefore I am well content. You get new strength when you, so that's the power of grace at working. And the second indication you're experiencing God's grace is you're at ease where you are until you get to where God wants you to go. Content, at rest, at ease. It's not what I prefer, but I'm okay. I'm not panicking. I'm not losing it. So now the question is, how do you get this grace activated? Now remember, grace has already been provided. You can't earn grace. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't even work for it. But what you can do is access it. How did he access grace? Because he needed it. He was being driven crazy by this messenger of Satan, this thorn in the flesh. Verse 8, concerning this thorn, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. To employ means this is a serious prayer. This is not just throwing up something light. This is like begging. God, please. Anybody ever gone to God and said, please? In other words, this thing is deep. This thing hurts. To employ means, come on, God, do something. He said, I employed the Lord three times. So I want to deal with the theology of three. The Bible uses numbers to teach theology. So you will see a lot of numbers in the Bible to make a spiritual point. The most famous number in the Bible is the number seven. The number seven means complete. So whenever God talks about seven, he's bringing something to completion. So the seven judgments to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, to the seven bowls and the seven vials. And, you know, you got sevens all over the place showing God bringing something to completion. So biblical numerology uses numbers to teach theology. So I want to talk to you about the number three. Three is somewhat like the number seven with a little nuance difference, is the number of fullness. It involves a beginning, a middle, and an end. Three, beginning, middle, and end. So it's where you start, it's in the middle of where you are, and it is where that fullness comes, where it ends. For example, Jesus died on Friday. On Saturday, while his body was in the grave, he went and preached in hell and brought the saints to heaven, led captive a host of captives. On Sunday, he rose from the dead. So when they describe Jesus, they talk about the 3 days and three nights. When they talk about Jonah being in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. When they talk about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, Jesus quoted the scripture three times to Satan before Satan left him. So you'll find this concept of three regularly throughout the scripture to speak of God's fullness. So when he prayed, he prayed three times. That is, he prayed until there was fullness. That raises a question. How do I know when there's fullness? Look at what he says. Concerning this, I prayed three times that it might leave me. Verse 9. And he said to me. There it is. There's your answer. You have hit fullness when you hear God's voice. Let me say it again. You have hit three when you're talking to God and imploring to God about the thorn, and you hit fullness when God speaks into your situation. So how much do you pray about something that's messing over you and killing you and disturbing you and needling you until you hear his voice? You say, but how do I hear his voice? Oh, you hear his voice a number of ways. Sometimes you may be in church and it looks like the sermon was just for you about the thing you were dealing with. You just heard his voice. You may have another believer come speak into your life prophetically. And when they speak into your life prophetically, it was just the word that you needed to hear from God. And that prophetic word was hearing God's voice. You can hear God's voice when you're reading the Bible and God, the Holy Spirit, lets a verse jump out at you. And you know that verse was what you needed at that moment. You can hear his voice when you're listening to a song on the radio and God makes that song come alive and it speaks into your life. The key is you are hearing the voice of God. The problem is most people aren't listening for it. He employed God, but Paul had such a relationship with God that he could tune in to God's voice. And he said, the problem is many times God is talking and he's really speaking into our thorn, but we're not tuned in. Now watch this. He did something else. He says, most gladly, now you're not going to like this part of the verse, but please pay attention. Most gladly, therefore, somebody say, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ might dwell in me. What am I supposed to be bragging about? Please notice what he says, I boast about my weaknesses and then I got more power. How did you get more power? Because he began to look at what was wrong spiritually and not merely circumstantially. That's why the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. What it means by that is that he doesn't say, don't act like something is wrong, because he employed the Lord to get rid of what was wrong. So you're not ignoring what's wrong, but because you want more power, because you want more juice, because you want grace to express itself, he says, God, since God likes to show his extra strength Tylenol when I have a headache, God, I have a headache, so I'm a boast about Tylenol. I'm a boast about your grace because I have a thorn and your grace is sufficient for my thorn, so I'm a brag on Tylenol. I'm a brag on grace. I'm a brag on God. And when he bragged in the midst of his weakness, it says he got more power. He got more grace. He got more of the substance of God working to him and through him and for him. It turned things around.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final illustration about how that power of grace works. In the meantime, if you'd like to review this message on your own or share it with someone else, you can get it as a part of Tony's brand new series, The Magnificent Grace of God. The set includes the full-length versions of all 12 messages, including a lot of material we didn't have time to bring you on the air. As I mentioned earlier, it's yours with our thanks when you visit TonyEvans.org and make a contribution of any size to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, you'll get the Grace of God follow-up book and resource DVD I told you about. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are available around the clock to help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. When many Christians think of generosity, they think of it in terms of giving money away. Well, next time, Dr. Evans will explain why it's really more of an investment than a handout. Discover the difference in this look at giving by grace tomorrow. Right now, though, Dr. Evans is back to wrap up our lesson with a final story.
When a car's broke down, you call AAA and you see the power of a tow truck. When it's broke down, it can't go anywhere, and the tow truck pulls up and there's a hookup. Christ who dwells in me, there's a hookup. There's a spiritual connection. Christ who dwells in me, the answer is already in you. And the grace truck hitches up to your broke downness. What does the tow truck do? It lifts the front tires off the ground. And even though the car is broke, the tow truck still takes it from where it is to where it needs to go until it gets fixed. You're not stuck any longer. God's got a grace truck and he can meet you where you are. So even though you can't brag about your weakness for being weakness, you can brag about the grace card you got in your soul, because he says it's Christ who dwells in me.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.